This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lichvot HaNisuim Shel Menachem Yehuda Hertzke and Rochel Landau. Yud Zayin Rav Cheshvan, Monday the 25th of October, Rabbi David Sipper, Chesed Avraham style.
I have a very great privilege and a tremendous honor to be invited to address you from the same shtender that so many Tamei Chachomim have addressed you, and I strive one day to be in that caliber, Bezus Hashem. One of the most outstanding features of this week's parasha is something that is unique in the Kol HaTorah Kulo, and that is a tremendous, tremendous repetition and length and detail the parasha goes into and discusses. It's seemingly a mere factor of Jewish history of Eliezer finding a shidduch for Yitzchok and Rivka. And it goes into depth, and it goes into discusses a plan of action, and then it repeats a plan of action, and then it talks about how he said it over what happened. 67 psukim are used just to describe this particular shidduch. 67 psukim, which, if one understands within the whole picture of things, Masechtas Yevamos is 5 or 6 psukim, Bava Kamma 10 or 12 psukim. 67 psukim is used to discuss the whole factors that went into the planning and the execution and the repetition. This is a whole story. Why is it so necessary? So Rashi, when he talks about it, Rashi says, Omra ba'acha, yofas yichosom shal avdei ovois ifnei amokim yesim matirosom shal bonim. The sicha, the very discussion, the very thought process that go through with the avdei ovois is more important than that of the teirosom shal bonim. Shari parashah shel Eliezer kufula b'teirah v'harbei gufei teirah v'ninu ele b'remizah. The parashah of Eliezer is talked about in great detail, whereas other halachas in the Torah is only mentioned in b'remizah. The question is, why? Why? So the way I understand it is as follows. Halacha is something that one does or one doesn't do. A person has, unfortunately, an episode where his brother passed away. There's a shayla now whether he has to do yibum, whether he has to do chalitza, whether he can do yibum, whether he can't do chalitza, tzaras, erev, not tzaras, erev, machlokes, besham, beisil. He goes to a rav and he asks the rav what he should do, and the rav tells him. A person has a shayla whether he's a shomer, he's a seicha, whether a seicha k'shem echino, seicha k'shem esocha. He goes to a rav and asks him. Okay, these things are very straightforward. That could be done by remiza. When it comes to chesed, though, it's a whole different caliber. When it comes to midas, this is not based on halacha. It's not something which is clear cut. The person goes to the rav and asks him yes or no. This is complicated. Why? Because it's got to do with 5 elements that a person can come into conflict with. The Chofetz Chaim in Avos Chesed, in the first few prokhim, talks about the fantastic, fantastic schar a person gets for Chesed. How Kodesh Baruch Hu looks after him and his family forever and ever, and the schar gets in this world and in the next world. Outstanding. And in the next few prokhim, he talks about the terrible things a person does. If he doesn't do Chesed, it's Yelo Eidol Beit Zora. And eventually in Perichess, he goes through a very, very fascinating understanding about human psychology, exactly why a person would prevent himself from doing chesed given the opportunity. Why would a person presented with the opportunity to do chesed, why would he not do it? And he brings 5 reasons. And I'd like to address these 5 reasons and see how they connect with our Masechtas Derech Eretz in this week's parasha. This parasha is Masechtas Derech Eretz. How does that fit into this week's parasha? So he says that the 5 reasons are Yehi petza otzel. Yehi petza otzel. Yehi shall be petza otzel. The person who is an otzel, person who is lazy, he's petza. He is damaged. His whole body is damaged. What's yehi petza otzel? Yehi, the yud, is yira, fear. He's represented with the opportunity to do chesed. But he's scared. Why is he scared? Who knows? If I give this tzedakah, then I may get a reputation of being a wealthy man. People knock my doors down. Who knows? If I get involved, inviting this person into my home, he may take over my house. Who knows what will be? Pen. Who knows? And by the way, very often, some of these 5 reasons are absolutely correct. And a person should not do the chesed because of these reasons. But very often, a person presented with these options, and they're incorrect. So the first one is yira. It's fear. I lend somebody money. Who knows he'll pay me back? It's true, sometimes he won't pay you back, so don't lend him the money. But very often, you can take a mashkin, says the Chofetz Chaim. You can do something about it. It's yira. It's fear. Yehi, the hey yud, is helim yidia. Helim yidia basically means ignorance. He's not aware of how to go about doing this chesed. He doesn't realize how important it is to do the chesed. How often does a person see Nebuch, a person lost a parent, a person lost a spouse, a person lost a child, and the pain they're going through, and a person crosses a road when they see them because they don't know how to speak to the person? What do you say to such a person? What do you say? So, Helim Yidia, I don't know how to represent my feelings to this person. I don't know how to take in his pain and work within the correct way. Helim Yidia is ignorance. I didn't realize how important it was to help that person. Helim Yidia. Pay is potter. I feel I'm exempt. Why? There's people far more privileged in the society that can help this person. There's far more people far more capable than me financially. Far more people far more capable than me to help him on an intellectual level. Who am I? Or on the contrary, I should get involved in this. It's not for me. It's below my dignity. There's other people can do this. It's not for me. Potter. I feel I'm exempt. That's yihi. Pet le pei sa. Sadi ayin is tsar ayin. Tsar ayin basically means selfishness. In other words, a person knows he can get involved. A person has capacity to get involved. A person knows he should be getting involved. But he doesn't want to. Once saw a cartoon. Someone was holding up a beggar sitting there with a little cup. And it says, www.sparesomechange.com. So Fudder pulled up a thing out of his pocket. www.getajob.com. And this is the understanding. Get a job. Why should I get involved in this chesed? Why should I help this person? He should get his life together. Sometimes it's potter. Sometimes it's sorayin. Sometimes you're correct. But very often it's sorayin. It's selfishness. It's understanding where a person doesn't really want to give away something that belongs to him as part of him. And finally, the ayin is otzel, is atzlus. A person knows he can, a person really wants to, a person feels that he is responsible, but he just doesn't have the gumption, he doesn't have the motivation to actually get up and do it. That's otzel. Yihi petzel otzel. Yira, helim yidia, potter, sor ayin, and atzlus. Ignorance, fear, ignorance, exemption, stinginess or selfishness, and lack of motivation. One would expect that these five different concepts would be in the Sechtes Chesed in Parshas Chayisara. And with investigation of Baruch Hashem, I found that all these five are represented in this week's parasha very, very briefly. Otzel, let's not in order, Otzel, Atzlus. The Drosh HaSaran asks, why was it that Avraham Avinu was so determined that Klal Yisrael should be based and be built on not from Benois Kanaan? He said to Eliezer, make a shavua, tachas yirehi, make a shavua, and go along, do not take from Benois Kanaan. Why was he so determined not from Benois Kanaan? And where did he go in the end? He went to Lavan and Basur, Rachman al Islam. You know, these were the mechatani that you're looking for. These are the wonderful people. Go along and find Basur, find the sister of Lavan. That's what you're so excited about. Why was it so bad? In fact, the Oda Vedazara. And Canaan were the other way around. Some of them were Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. So what's wrong taking a Talmid, taking a good Talmid, and marry his son off to one of his daughters? Why go to Lavan and Besuel, people who are Oda Vedazara? What's the idea behind that? So Rosh Hashanah says there's one fact over there that was different. And that was that although the Oda Vedazara, although they had terrible, terrible immoral acts going on in their home, but there was one factor that was different, and that was called genetics. They had genes. They had Jewish genes. They had the same genes as Avraham Avinu. They had the same koichos to overcome in the correct way their terrible lack of Yerushalayim, and with their children be able to redetermine where they're going and become yet again Ovdei Hashem. Lavan and Basur were messed up, the Oda Vedazara. They didn't have backbone to stand up against society. But Lemaisa, they had a child called Rivka, and that Rivka was pure. And she had the genes of Avraham Avinu. And the genes of Avraham Avinu can never ever fall apart. It's an incredible vort. The Kotzker says, Ashley Sikach Isha Livni Bimlois Kanan, do not take a wife for my son, from Bnei Kanan, Asher Anoichi Yoshe Bekirboi. Asher Anoichi, what's Anoichi? There's Anoichi is Yoshe Bekirboi. There's selfishness Bekirboi. There's who am I? Where am I in society? That's all they care about. Asher Anoichi Yoshe Bekirboi. That we can't have in Klal Yisrael. Faket, in the other way, on the other hand, the Pasuk says, Ve'eschol Egoi Godol, Vavarechachol Vagadlo Shmech Vihei Bracha. So Rashi brings down already from the Gemara, Ve'eschol Egoi Godol, Zer Shoimrim, Elekei Avram. Vavarechachol, Zer Shoimrim, Elekei Yitzchok. Vagadlo Shmecho, Zer Shoimrim, Elekei Yaakov. Ve'yehei Bracha. Maybe you should be the bracha, says the Gemara. Yochol yechoyis m'mekulam. Maybe you should say Baruch Ato Hashem. Mogein Avrom Yisrael and Yaakov. Says the Gemara, no. Tamalei avi hey bracha b'chol choyis m'mulei behem. The chassim will be the Avram Vina, not with them. The kasha is, what does he mind? Avram Vina has Avrom Yisrael and Yaakov and Shmona Esrei. So finish up Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogein Avrom Yisrael and Yaakov. How much longer will it take? How much longer will it take? And he has to be in the limelight. Avram Avinu, oh. If it's not Avraham, by myself, it's not worth anything. Say, Baruch HaTov Shalom, Mogen Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the book from Bnei Yisroel. Bnei Yisroel says that when Klal Yisrael began, it was inconceivable that Klal Yisrael would not have the three factors of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Avodah, and Yaakov is Torah. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasodim. It's inconceivable that Klal Yisrael would not be with those three factors. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasodim. And there were times in history where Klal Yisrael knew every child, every woman, and even Amoratsim knew the entire Taharis. There was Avodah, there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was Kobonas. It was fantastic. There was Chesed. And one would imagine that would go on forever and ever. Says the Gemara, Yochol Yachoismim B'kulon. Maybe the chassim at the end of Jewish history will be with Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasodim, says the Gemara, no. There'll be a generation in time where there'll be Jewish people who cannot know, they cannot be expected to know, perhaps, how to read the Rashi, how to read the Pasuk, Amaratzim. There are people who don't know what it means to daven in a shul. They come to shul for hatch, match, and dispatch. That's it. They're not in shul. To daven, there's no avodah, there's no Torah, there's no avodah, but there's one thing that will remain. The geula will come, the chasima will be with Mogen Avraham, with chesed. We have people today, all over the world, Jews who are totally unaffiliated with any form of Torah and avodah, but they still have this Jewish giving. They still have this concept of giving to the UJA, or the JNF, or whatever it may be. And they still have this chasima, this tremendous giving. I met somebody recently, who was working for Enron, Saponin of Rocha, and he was a friend with the vice president of the company. He just got promotion to be vice president, and this fellow told him that he was somehow pushed and squeezed into giving a donation to a particular cause. And he said to him, "Do you know, Paul, I had to give $100 to the cat sanctuary." He said, $100? Really? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, isn't it terrible? $100. $100! This person's earning $400,000 or $500,000 a year from other people's money, and he couldn't give $100 away to a cat sanctuary. I don't know how much I've given away to a cat sanctuary. But okay, $100. The idea, the split between B'chor Chosmin, the Geula of our generation, or with the end of the Golas, the Chasima will be with Jewish giving. That is the idea. So therefore the genetics, the genes have gone all the way through, from the very, very beginning, all the way to where until we are today. Those are Jewish genes. Avraham Avinu said, forget about Bnei Kanan. There may be even people who are keeping halacha, as far as I'm concerned, but the genes are wrong. We can't have these people. We need people all the way to the end of the Golas who are going to have the Jewish genes. And therefore, there's no Atzus in Klal Yisrael. There's no Atzus within the genetics of Klal Yisrael. There may not be the knowledge, but the Atzus, the fact of not giving away tzedakah because I'm not motivated, that doesn't exist. On a national level. On personal, there's like it's a horror all the time. But on a national level, on a religious level, that doesn't exist. Chesu Nidia, Helen Nidia. What was the idea behind Eliezer's master plan to find a wife through this interesting plan of getting, bringing next to the Mayon, next to the spring, next to the well, and then you're having these you come along and ask for something to drink, and then she comes along and it says, not only give you to drink, the camel to drink. What's the idea behind this? So this very, very famous Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi says, that this was a very, very fine test based on human sensitivity. He did not ask Rivka to give him a cup of water. He said to Rivka, give me water from your kadeh, from your jug. A jug is something that you use to draw water, and that water you bring home with you. So if you drink water from the jug, then obviously there's a bit of a problem there, because if you drink straight from the jug, there's a hygiene issue. There's a hygiene issue. So if you're drinking from the jug, creates a hygiene issue. So what do you have? What other options do you have? Either I can take the water, and I can pour out the water when I finish with it. But by doing so, I'm offending Eliezer, who would be drinking from the jug, as if he has some kind of, you know, he's unhygienic or some kind of disease or something. So to pour out the water afterwards would be problematic. On the other hand, to take back the cup back home, pretending nothing happened, maybe he does have something wrong with him. And therefore I can't be sensitive on Eliezer's behalf and be insensitive to those who are bringing back and delivering the water. So what do you do? So Eliezer thought the master plan would be to ask her to give her water from the card, to drink the water, and then you can always pour it out for the camels and pretend the reason why you're pouring it out is to give the camels to drink. Fantastic. And she did that. And not only that, she actually gave to all the camels, because lest he think that she's doing it for that reason, said, no, give all the camels to drink. In that way, it's clear they're not only doing it to get around the health issue. But it goes even further than that. There's a famous, there's a Magen Avraham Simon Kufsam Chazayin who talks about where there's a chiv to give to drink animals before you give yourself to drink. In other words, the Prophet says, first give your animals to drink, to eat, and then give yourself to eat. So the Magen Avraham brings a shiloh over there, whether that same halacha applies to drink as well. So it brings from the Sefer Chassidim, and Sefer Chassidim brings down that it's obvious from this parasha over here that the fact that she gave Eliezer to drink first, rather than giving the camels to drink, that drinking is different to eating. Says Eli Rabba, there's no raya from there, because it could be a difference between your own opportunity to give somebody to drink or somebody else's opportunity. In other words, if it's me with my own animals, then I may be mechuyev to give my animals to drink before I give drink myself. But if I'm a guest somewhere, the host has no obligation, perhaps, to care about the other person's animals before they care about the guest himself. Okay? So that's Eli Rabba. So what did Rivka do? Rivka said to herself, if I give the water to Eliezer first, it will belong to him. If it belongs to him, then he has to give the water to the camels first, he may be thirsty. Therefore, if you look carefully in the Pasuk only says later on, she first gave the water to Eliezer to drink, and then she said, "Gam gamalecha eshke," then I will give you water to the camels. Because if you had given the water to Eliezer first, then he'd be obligated as well to give the camels to drink first, and he may be thirsty. So this is no harem idea. This is a girl who is 3 years old, who used her mind to be sensitive, used her mind to completely acclimatize with the situation in the way that she could absolutely feel for Eliezer and feel for halacha and do something for this in the same time. Harem idea. A lack of knowledge, ignorance, is something that can be learnt. Chesed, it can be learnt. Somebody has a neighbor who's suffering from postnatal depression. It may be a very, very terrible issue, and she may need serious help. Tzirchevet, who knows? But the Herim Idea means investigate. How can I help her? Can I send her in a meal? Can I give her some support? Can I take the children off a little while? That's Herim Idea. Again, this is another. That's another one of the five issues addressed in this week's parasha. The next concept is a concept I want to talk about is potter. It's not for me. I'm overqualified and underqualified. There was a beautiful story in Sabotka. Sabotka was a yeshiva where Torah knowledge, where Idiyah Satoira, with Chochmah Satoira, with Harifah Satoira, was king. So Alton Sabotka, who was a tremendously sensitive person, but the respect that Tamid HaChomah had for him, the yeshiva had for him, was because of his ankus and his tremendous, tremendous knowledge and depth in Torah. One day, a new bochur came to the yeshiva called Isaac Shur. And the bochurim had this tendency to be drawn to the new bochurim, to fill them out, to see where they're holding. And the bochurim were absolutely amazed. Absolutely amazed. They saw this bochur, tremendous bochur. He had charifus, he had gadlus, and they were talking to each other. And they were saying to each other, you know what this boy is? He's unbelievable. He's tremendous. I learn with him, and he knows the whole Shas. Other one says, whole Shas, he knows Shulchan Aruch as well. Another boy walks past and says, you know what? What's interesting about him is, I schmooze with him, and he's a geschmacken Mensch. So other boy says, laughing, geschmacken Mensch. He's not a geschmacken Mensch, he's a gone out of him, he's an Illui. So the Alter was standing by, Altman Sobotka standing by, and he says, you know what? Very nice, he's an Illui. But he's a geschmacken Mensch, that's what's most important. And that's the kind of son what I'm looking for. And the Alter of Sobotka talk about Isaac Scher as a son-in-law. In this week's parasha, we find an unbelievable thing. We find Eliezer notices a nes. He notices that as Rivka comes, the water comes drawn up to water. A maisa nisim. Unbelievable tzidkus. A nes, golly. Says a pasuk, one would imagine that that's it. He's found the correct shidduch. He found a person who could do nisim. A very, very qualified person to marry Yitzchak. A balas mitzvah. It didn't impress him at all. He was not looking for a miracle worker. He was looking for a mensch. He was looking for a geschmacken mensch to marry Yitzchak. And therefore, he started the whole process to look and investigate, started from there. It didn't interest him bechlal, the fact that she was so qualified as to have mais and nisim happening to her. Potter means a person feels I'm overqualified, I'm underqualified. You know, it's not for me, I'm Rumad Benissim. I should start drawing water for a person who's got a few camels. They're quite capable themselves. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as potter. A person can have Nissim happening to them, and it makes no difference. It makes no difference at all. It's got to be a geschmacken Mensch. That's potter. Tzor Ayin. There is a... A very, very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vatoli me'elof, gam teven, gam mispoy rav imonu. Gam teven, gam mispoy rav imonu." Now, imonu means with us. In other words, she said to Eliezer, "Come to my house. Gam teven, straw and mispoy, and food for the camels. Yesh imonu, rav imonu. Imonu means with us. The kasha is, it shouldn't say rav imonu. It should say rav lonu, to us." What's with us? Imonu is a very shvera word. What's imonu? What does it mean with us? So the Toldos Yitzchok says a beautiful vort. Toldos Yitzchok says, the difficulty a person has to extend of himself and to give to other people is because he feels that it's actually a part of him. When a person feels that money or his wealth or his koichus is an actual part of his own body, to ask a person to give away a finger, to give away a leg to somebody else because they're asking from him, it's very, very difficult. By the way, there are people who do that. I met somebody recently, and he told me that Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was once collecting money in Brazil for his yeshiva. And he phoned his wife up and said he's going to be a few weeks late. He has to stay a little bit longer. At the shiva, a gentleman came in and he said, you should just know that your father is still alive. He says, my father's still alive, why come into the shiva? He says, no, there's a chilik of your father still alive. I have his kidney. When I was in Brazil, there was a need for a kidney. And I said, I've got two, Baruch Hashem. Don't need two. A complete stranger, he gave away his kidney to this stranger. And it's extended his personal life. People actually do give away a chedek of his goods. I found out from one of his Talmidim if the story was true, and he said to me, yes, the story is true, I also gave away my kidney to my third cousin. So people do give away a chedek of their body. But how is it that a person give away part of their wealth? How is it that a person can give away a chedek of their body? A chedek of their wealth if it belongs to them. It's very, very difficult. Says Rivka, it's not gamlonu, it's not us. It's imonu, it's with us. It's detached from me. It's my wealth which is over here on the side. It's like going to a bank and asking to withdraw money. And the bank says, I'm very sorry. Credit crunch. I can't give you your money. It's happened, unfortunately. But it's not something that happens on a regular basis. It's not your money. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's money. It happens to be with you. Rav imonu. It's with us. It's not mine. And therefore, the Tzor Ayin factor, being selfish and being self-centered and saying it's me, it's mine, it's very difficult to give, that should fall away as well. Rav Imon. So therefore we've had four. We've had Yira, We have not yet done Yira. Okay, Yira. What is fear? Fear. The parasha says towards the end. The parasha says, "V'yikach ish nezem zav beka mishkoloi u'shnei tzmidim al yedeho asara zav mishkolam." So Rashi brings down beka as remez l'shikle Yisrael beka l'gugoyles ahaf beka l'gugoyles to remind us to represent shkolim half a shekel shnei tzmidim remez l'shnei luchis m'tzumodis tzmidim is to remind us of the two luchis. Asara zav mishkolam, the asara zav mishkol was 10 zav, which is very very heavy. Remez l'yudvarim, remez aseres adibros. Why does the pasuk go into such detail exactly what it was and how much it weighed? So I saw a very nice vault, and I believe it's a very powerful vault. It's incredible how much discomfort people go with sacred fashion. It's incredible. And you get women wearing the most interesting jewellery, which is extremely uncomfortable for the sake of beauty. Here we have two tzmidim, we have two armbands. Heavy, three-year-old girl, asara mishkolam. There are heavy armbands. And Nebuch has got to schlep around these gold bracelets. Nebuch, oi! On the contrary, this is a privilege. On the contrary, this is wealth. This is godless. To walk around with these beautiful bracelets that look like two matching bracelets, like handcuffs. On the contrary, this isn't handcuffs. This is a asara mishkolam, this is beauty. You're afraid to get involved in chesed. That's what you're afraid of. It's beauty. It's a chelik of who you are. It's not armbands. It's the weight of carrying along a brother with you. What is all about? What's the half a shekel? Half a shekel is all about understanding that however much you are, you're half, unless you have somebody else. Unless you have somebody with you, you're still a half. You can be the wealthiest, you can be the greatest Talmid Chacham in the world. But myself, and all I can do is represent the half. I've got to bring somebody else into my life to make a whole, to make a whole shekel. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand what the shekel was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a matbea shel esh, a matbea of fire. And that's, then he understood what the matbea was, what a shekel was. Asked the Bala Musa, what's this matbea of esh? I think the Sfasemis asked, what's this matbea of esh? Why don't you take out a shekel out of the pocket? He doesn't know half a shekel. Find out what half a shekel is. What's he had to see a matbea shel esh? Says the Sfasemis, the idea was, how could it be, says Moshe Rabbeinu, a person can give away tzedakah, a fixed amount? How can a person give, be mechuyev to give one certain matbea, where everyone has that same matbea? How can it be that Reuven gives a half a shekel, Shimon gives a half a shekel? Where is the position to grow? The mitzvah is all about growth. It's becoming bigger, becoming stronger. If everyone is confined to a half a shekel, how can that be a mitzvah? Where is the potential to growth? Answers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Her Eloi Matzbeah Shel Eish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're making a mistake. It's not the Matzbeah, it's not the currency of worth. It's the currency of fire. How much you put into the mitzvah? You can take the same half a shekel, but the amount of energy, an amount of geschmack, an amount of enthusiasm, the Matzbeah Shel Eish is what makes the difference between Reuven's half a shekel and Shimon's half a shekel. It's a whole different currency. If a person goes about that with the Matzbeah Shel Eish, understanding that the amount of koyach and enthusiasm put into a mitzvah, then this is Masechtas Derech Eretz. Yira, we discuss now Bekel Gugaydas. Helim Idea was the Beis Halevi and the Chassam Sofer that talked about the ideas of how she put her mind into understanding the sensitivity of the other person. Petzar, Potter, was an Alter from Slabotka, that however great a person is, however big, tremendous Bale Madrega they are, a person is never ever potter. So Ayn was an understanding we just brought from Tolus Yitzchok, was an understanding that it's not lonu, it's imonu. It's with us, it's not us. And finally, Otzel was, we discussed before from Drosha Saran, that the understanding of the Atzlus is not something which is part of the Jewish nation. The motivation to give is deep, deep into our genes, and should all be Zoichav Ez Hashem to give to only good causes, and should all be Zoichav to be. But Emma's the Roy to Gula Shalem. Thank you very much for listening.